Evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to your latest episode of the Jersnet Weekly Podcast, hosted by myself, Craig Gray. It's Friday, the 19th of December, 2025, and we're here to talk all things Rangers. We are the Independent Rangers podcast, made for fans by fans, and all of our content is absolutely free. You can get us over at jersnet.co.uk, where you've got access to the forum, some great articles, and a wonderful history archive as well. You can also get us on Twitter at jersnetonline. We are live tonight on YouTube, folks. We'd ask that you like and subscribe to the channel, and please get involved in the conversation in the comments below, only if they are worth saying no. Just before I introduce my guest this evening, I need to give a shout out to our partners over at Forest Precision Engineering. They're a subcontract Glasgow-based engineering company, and they've been a big commercial supporter of Rangers for many years. And we're absolutely delighted that they're backing our podcast. You can get them over at forestprecisioneng.com, and you can also visit the Forest Precision Executive Lounge, a stunning new hospitality area within the historic main stand. For information on how to book this unique and intimate space, you can email the club via hospitality@rangers.co.uk. And joining me tonight, folks, it's the Jersnet Christmas Bunny, Mr. Stuart Weir. Stuart, have you got one of Danny Rose chocolates that you're going to be passing out to everyone?
No, I've had to buy one on this occasion. I'll wait to see if there's one drops in the post in the next couple of days. I'm not holding my breath for it right enough, but I remember when Rangers first brought out their own brand of chocolate. I think it was made by Dunkin's, and we're all given a sizable quantity of this chocolate to write nice things about, and it tasted a bit like laxative chocolate. I think they've been holding on to it in a drawer somewhere for a wee while, but no, it was an acquired taste. They got to like it eventually, but no Santa's for me this far.
Oh, well, that's a shame, but you never know what will show up in your stocking. Maybe some chocolates, maybe a game of Connect Four. Who knows? Who knows?
Battleships.
Aye, battleships. Of course, here to discuss all things Rangers. I mean, massive game on Sunday. It's always a big one going to Tynecastle, but weirdly, due to the fault of our rivals so far above us, but it seems that we might just about be back in this title race by the skin of our teeth. But I think Sunday, I know people say, you know, it's a must not lose game. I mean, that's pretty obvious. But for me, it's must win just to put a wee bit of a marker down on what has been a dreadful season so far.
If Rangers were to win the game on Sunday, it would be a statement win. You know, that they really had the best intentions and that they really could make a challenge. I do think it's a game not to lose, simply because they've played hard to get back into this position. I wouldn't say they've played particularly well. I think there's still a lot to be desired in that front. But they've strung the results together. And I think it goes to prove that if you do simple things in football, then you will get results. And I think the Rangers' formula just now is score a goal, don't concede any goals. If you do concede a goal, make sure you score one more than the opposition. Take the 3 points and move on. It's not, it's not stunning football in any way, shape or form, but it has been effective. And to be honest, currently in the top flight in Scotland, that's all you need to do to be effective, is to win your matches and put pressure on the opposition.
No, absolutely. The one thing that kind of concerns me going into Sunday, apart from the fact that they've been absolutely rank rotten all season and Hearts have been pretty good this season, I know Danny Rowe has done fairly well coming in domestically, although when you look at the teams that were faced in the league, I know we've played Tibbs home and away, but apart from that, there's not been real sort of like the big tests like Hearts, Aberdeen, Celtic, the traditional big tests. You know, obviously, we played Celtic in the semi-final. We lost after extra time. And in Europe, when we're playing against a higher calibre of team, the performances haven't been up to scratch. So the one thing that I'm cautious of, as much as I've silently admired the new manager for the last few weeks, is that when we have played teams that are of higher quality, and Hearts certainly right at this moment fit into that bracket, we do tend to struggle. So that might be the one wee thing that's kind of make me feel a bit uneasy going into the weekend.
But we'll see come Sunday if Rangers can, as you say, perform against one of the bigger teams and one of the teams with a better standing in the league. But it's not that long ago that every game for Rangers was a big game, simply because they couldn't even beat the teams that people thought they should. You remember where Rangers were after a handful of games, and they were closer to going back to places like Forfar and Arbroath and Hamilton than they were going anywhere near the top couple of positions in the Premier League. So I think they've done well to turn it around. As I say, they've kept it simple. It's very simple at times. The other thing they've done is cut out mistakes, and I think it's imperative that on Sunday especially they maintain that. The other night there, it was quite interesting to watch. It was like, I'm trying to think, was it in back, but they were in the sort of left centre back, left back position, and you sort of half expected them to throw a dummy spin and knock the ball back to the goalkeeper, and they didn't. They just blasted the ball right across a big diagonal ball right across the park, and get out of sort of a sticky situation that way. And that kind of encouraged me that they're trying to take the mistakes out of their game. It's much easier to defend against the opposition when they're trying to break from their own byline or own penalty box than it is giving the ball away inside your own half when you've only got one other covering defender. So I think on Sunday as well, we'll see if there has been a positive improvement in that area or whether we're just kidding ourselves on.
Yeah, I mean, you mentioned the game on Monday there, Stuart, against Hibs, that 1-0 victory. I mean, there were some people that were slagging off the performance, and I suppose when you're watching it live, you're constantly worried, and you can never really analyse games in a proper state of mind when it's live, because you're living in the moment with it. But when you actually look back on it, I mean, it was probably the most comfortable 1-0 win that you're ever going to get. I don't remember Hibs creating any chances. We weren't scintillating or anything like that, but I certainly feel, certainly the last sort of 20 minutes or so, that we should have had another one or two quite easily, and the game should have been out of sight. But, Hibs didn't really create anything. I can't remember the number of clean sheets that we've had since the new managers came in, but he did mention, I think it's 5 out of 8, maybe, off the top of my head, which is, I mean, considering where we were before, that is quite remarkable, considering it's still pretty much the same defensive options that we've had since the start.
Yeah, I think it's. I think I'd agree with you. It's pretty amazing that they've actually, the same bunch of players have actually managed to keep clean sheets now and actually put themselves into contention for wins as opposed to just hanging on for points. The other night there against Hibs, I think Rangers went a goal in front, and somebody mentioned the stats around that. That in the games that Rangers have gone a goal in front, they've basically won sort of 70% of them or 80% or something like that. I can't really remember what the stat was, but it's a pretty high percentage. So when they went a goal in front, you then think to yourself, right, don't make any mistakes, keep it tight, don't give Hibs any opportunities, and they did that. I think if you looked at the last 5, 10 minutes, I think both teams had approached the game the same way as they did the last 10 minutes all the way through. You could end up with a 5-4 or a 6-3 or something like that. It looked quite exciting. However, and watching it back again, watching it at the time, as you said, Craig, then watching it back again, knowing what the outcome's going to be, I think Rangers played within themselves a lot of the time, and I think because Rangers played sort of cautiously and made sure that they weren't going to give anything away, I think it made it difficult for Hibs to actually get into their stride any time they did get possession or get the ball. So it kind of worked both ways. They kind of starved and froze out Hibs because they weren't getting the ball, and it meant it was an easier night for Rangers all in. try to defend a very slender lead.
Yeah, I mean, you said they're playing within themselves, and I think you are right to an extent, although at the same time, I'm kind of thinking, are the players, some of them playing within themselves, or is this just them as a player? And I look at guys like, Asgard, I know he's injured at the moment, but Antman, Chirmete, the manager has improved a couple of players, like, Michael Moore, Miovsky's came into form, Fernandez, I actually think Giga's looked more solid since the new managers came in as well. But there are still some players there that you're going, like, I just can't see it. Like, guys like Asgard, he's for me one of the, him and Chirmete are the two sort of main culprits. And you're kind of thinking, well, are they playing within themselves or is this just them as players? I mean, Asgard, he does a couple of fancy flicks, this, that, the next thing. I mean, him doing a fancy flick basically cost us the game at Hampden, in my opinion, because it made them get sent off. And I think we would have probably been on to win that game if the players had, or the teams had equal players in the park. Chirmete, I mean, I think there was a moment in the first half he backheeled it. He looked really silky for about 3 seconds, and then you see that shot that he has that goes out for a shy. And sometimes when that happens, you'll get close enough to the corner that it will hit the corner flag, but it didn't even do that. I
No.
think he was trying to hit Danny Rule with a shot.
He's I think your mention of Moore there, I think Moore is a guy who has decided he's not going to play for Rangers. I think he was sandbagging for a bit under Martin. Simply because a new coach coming in doesn't really improve players that actually belong to other clubs. If you see what I mean, I think he always had that. I think maybe he was, it may not have been given 100%. I think he was playing beneath himself. I think what he's got now is maybe an arm around the shoulder or a sit down and the manager or coach saying, "This is what I want you to do. I know you're capable of it. You would not be in Tottenham Hotspur's books if you weren't capable of it. We're paying your wages and show what you can do for us." And it may be something as simple as that. He looks a far better player. Others, as you rightly mentioned, don't look like players. And to be honest, you would be down, you'd be checking your pockets to see if you still had a receipt for some of these guys, because you'd want to take them back and try and trade them in. Chirmete has never ever looked like a player, as far as I'm concerned. Never at any point in time has he done anything that made him look like, yeah, there's something there. And I know other people were saying, yeah, but you look at him and he's got wee touches and wee flashes, nothing. You may as well play him with an oil tanker up front, because that would hold the ball up as well and introduce as many players as he does. It's something or somebody we are lumbered with, because you don't see any way out. It's difficult to draw any kind of positives when you're sitting there and you're maybe being asked to do something for an English title, and they're saying, "Give us a rundown or a breakdown on this guy," or you've got somebody who maybe want to do a kind of package or stats file on him, and you're saying, "No, he never touched the ball, he hasn't controlled anything, and his last shot was a shy." That is a very difficult point to actually be positive about anybody, but he's on Rangers books currently, and Rangers have got to find a way of either utilising him or getting him out the door.
Speaking of the striking options, the manager mentioned earlier that Miovsky, he's touch and go for the weekend. I would say he's more likely not to make it. So you're either lumped with the £8 million Chirmete, who has literally done nothing for Rangers, or the £6 million Danilo, who has shown in flashes that he can do something, but he's just not been consistent enough. I mean, I'd probably start with Danilo up front, but then at the same time, you're kind of going, well, what happens later on if we need a goal? And Danilo's been playing crap and we need to bring on Chirmita because it's not as if he's going to do the business for us, so it's a tough choice.
No, it's it's, I would say it's the that decision becomes the evil of two lessons. You're damned if you do and damned if you don't, or just damned in general, because there's neither of the two of them that you'd really want to be stepping up into the attack to, if you needed a goal to save your season or a goal to win a game or a goal to win a cup tie. Are you really going to bank on those two? But the thing is, it's the necessity is for Rangers to keep picking up 3 points. So in terms of what Danny Rowe can do, he's limited. He has to play somebody in that position because the rest of the team are used to playing with a striker or a single striker or two strikers. He doesn't want to get in a position where he's playing with a withdrawn number nine or two wide strikers. He wants to be doing something that the players recognise. So therefore, he's got to pick one of them and put one of them into that position.
Yeah, I mean, if it's me, I'd probably just go with Danilo because he's at least shown something in the past. Doesn't mean that he's a £6 million player, but he's probably the lesser of two evils. And if he does, then he might score a goal.
Can I just pick up on something somebody just said there? It said,
Absolutely.
Chirmita needs some coaching on what runs to make.
He needs a better coach.
Rangers spent 8 million quid. Rangers are not Real Madrid. They're no Juventus, Bayern Munich, Liverpool, Man City. You do not spend £8 million on potential talent. You spend 8 million quid on somebody who's guaranteed to finish and who's the real deal. And for somebody to be arriving at Rangers or any club for that matter, with that price tag on them and needing to be coached, that just shows you what a shit show Rangers were last summer when they were spending money as if it was going out of fashion and buying players that they now have no hope of actually getting any money back on.
No. I mean, at this rate, he's going to go down as pound for pound the worst signing in Rangers history. And that's not an exaggeration because I think he's the second highest transfer fee paid. And he scored one goal against Kilmarnock. And he was lucky that it went in because the Kilmarnock keeper fumbled at it and basically threw it into the goal. So, I mean, he'll probably go down as pound for pound the worst ever Rangers signing. And look, people might say, "Oh, you're being too harsh on that." And I get this whole he doesn't choose how much clubs pay for him, but at the same time, it's like usually when you say that about players, they've at least shown something, and it might be like remember Fernando Torres at Chelsea, £50 million, and all right, he wasn't as good for Chelsea as he was for Liverpool, but he still scored some big goals for Chelsea. He scored against Barcelona in the Champions League. You know, he scored in the Europa League final. He's still done something. This guy's done absolutely nothing. Like, he's not shown that he's a £5 million, £2 million, £1 million striker. If we brought him in the summer in a free, you'd be trying to get your money back in the agent's fee. That's how bad this player is.
I did wonder if he was related to George Weah. Remember when George Weah get the guy, supposedly George Weah managed to get a player a trial with Southampton or a game with Souness and put him on and then took him back off again after about 20 minutes, just said this guy can't play. And sadly, and I feel sorry for the guy because he's in a foreign place and he's got people who are obviously questioning his talent or questioning even why he's here or still here. It's a sad indictment of where Rangers were during the summer and shows you what a car crash the whole process was.
Yeah, I think though in situations like that, you need to be strong as a club and understand why the manager will persist with him and play him because, you know, he's still an asset, an inverted commas, so you still need to try and recoup something back for him. But at the same time, he just shouldn't have been on that pitch. Surely there is a player in the youth setup that could do a similar, if not a better job than him. That's And it's another thing about youth development in general. That's something that surely annoyed me. That some of our young players, like, you know, Finlay Curtis is there. He's been one of our best players this season. All right, he's been getting a game lately, but, For large parts of the season, he's not been playing. We've let a lot of young players go, and it's just aye. There must be somebody in that youth team that can do a better job than that, Stuart.
Yeah, again, somebody I think to maybe become a better become a player in another league. Unfortunately, it's quite competitive playing for Wishaw Juniors. So I wouldn't hold my breath on that one either. But listen, sadly, Rangers are where they are through these poor buys. Unfortunately, you do wonder how much money they might have to actually go into the transfer window in January and what opportunities might be. It would be galling if Rangers could pick up somebody for 2 or 3 or 4 million who's twice the player that Sharmiti is or one or two of the others are and can't afford them something because they've forked out that much in on supposed talent last summer.
Another player that I think would look really good in another team or another league is Diamande. And I get see like that comment that oh, he would play better and or do better in a different league. That's all well and good. Let's be quite honest. We only care about what he does at Rangers. And to be fair, like the last sort of 5 to 7 years, I think we have had a few players that have went on to do okay. Another, I mean, even like guys like Umar Sadiq, Fabio Silva got a move to Borussia Dortmund. You look at how well Lingemann's doing at Lille, and you hear players say, "Oh, Rangers ruined that player. They done this, they done that." You're kind of like, "Well, that's all well and good that they're doing this stuff for Borussia Dortmund, or even Tillman for PSV, then Leverkusen." And by the way, I did like Tillman, but at the same time, sometimes you're either just cut out for a club or you're not. Just because these players are doing well at decent clubs and better leagues, on paper they might have more talent than a lot of them, but we have seen the last few years, especially with us, that just being better players, it's not enough in Scotland, Stuart.
When you, I mean, talent spotting at any level of football, I'd say any level of sport, is difficult because you're always looking at the potential and hoping that potential comes to fruition. So you do sometimes buy players and it comes to nothing. Goodness, I mean, there's a litany of them at Rangers over the years, that guys that have spent big money on and never managed to get anything out of. However, most of them have actually managed to sell on and get a decent resale for them. I think they've actually gone out this time and spent so much in players that even people from afar are thinking, well, even if we did fancy that guy, we were never going to spend that on him. And we'll just wait until it becomes bargain basement stuff before we try and pick him up. So, listen, we hear that there's lots of stories circulating out of Ibrox in terms of the Danny Rowe has looks as if he's rolled up his sleeves and said, right, here, hold my beer, I'll show you how to do this. And he's using his knowledge and his contacts that he's developed through the game to try and make his job a bit easier. I think if you looked at the job he was doing at Sheffield Wednesday, he was basically everything. He was the guy that was setting up pre-season friendlies. He was the guy who was the travel agent. He was booking the tours. He was booking the training pitches. He was washing the kits. He was doing all of these things. And I think he, after a number of games, I think he's taking on the same approach at Rangers. Hence the reason why I think there's a lot of new guys now actually starting to buck up their ideas and play for him. Because they see this guy as the real deal, maybe not because he's some kind of tactical genius, but basically he's actually leading from the front in how he approaches things. And I think that actually might buy him a lot of favour with some of the players that are actually there.
Yeah, I mean, just on that with the manager, right? We see today he's dishing out the Christmas chocolates and whatnot with a smile on his face. Everybody's happy. Oh, he's a great guy. He's shaking people's hands at his first couple of press conferences. And He does speak very well, especially for someone who English isn't going to be his first language. And not only that, I think he's very good at
He's also speak to a lot
communicating.
of he's also speak to a lot of people where English isn't their first language either. If you read their stuff.
Aye, there's plenty of him about Glasgow. But I think he's one thing that some foreign managers, so like Clement, for example, he was a good speaker of English, but it was sort of plain direct English, and there was maybe certain phrases that he would say that would be misconstrued. Whereas I think Danny Rule's got that sort of nouse about him where he's not coming out and making, like Pedro Caixinha as well,
I think
all
some
these
foreign
filthy statements,
managers,
you know what I mean?
I think some foreign managers endear themselves to you. You know, some are good communicators, others struggle. If you look at the foreign managers that Rangers have had, starting with, Advocaat was a good communicator. Advocaat could make himself understood in English. Never knew again how he speak to himself. But what the Dutch equivalent would be, they came out with a completely different word. But he knew how to get his message across. I think like Wenn was probably the complete opposite and did struggle. Caixinha, I think he struggled. Van Bronckhorst, it was easier for him. So you see, some managers are good communicators. There's also managers that are actually good communicators to the media and the press. And it was a nice gesture handing out the chocolate Santas. Although if you go and look at my Twitter account, you'll see actually what the chocolate Santas look like once you take the wrappers off them. That's another story entirely. But I think there's some managers you speak to and you get to like simply because they try and they try very hard and they try to include you in conversations that sometimes you don't want to be included in them, but they try to endear themselves to you. And I think Danny Rowe is in that situation just now. The thing with Danny Rowe is, and this is, I was speaking to somebody during the week here, it was like, well, we've kind of got to feel sorry for him because he's been given a terrible job to pick up all the pieces. That between Martin and Thelwell and Stewart, he's been left a jigsaw puzzle without a lid. And lo and behold, who did Celtic go and appoint? And all of a sudden, that sympathy vote just evaporates because there's somebody actually in the city who's worse off than Danny Rowe was. But I think Rowe's made his mark. I think people who have listened to him and been in his company and spoken to him actually realize he's a pretty decent guy, and because of that, and I would always say that about any club in any circumstances, I think somebody who's a decent person, you kind of maybe go easy on them a wee bit because you would like to see them hang about and stay a wee bit longer.
Yeah, I mean, I thought Andrew Kavanagh's words. I keep thinking back to him when he was first appointed, and I'm paraphrasing here, but it was essentially he is a really nice guy, but he's got an edge. And I think that's like the perfect balance when you're the manager of Rangers, it's great being a nice guy and all that, but you've got to have something about you. And I think, I mean, you seen it if it was after the Ferencváros game and he turned around and just went, "I'm raging, I'm really angry at the way we conceded the goals." So he does have that edge about him as well, which I really like.
There is this guy you would have met as a manager of the boat, Smith.
Yeah,
But
and my God, he had an edge.
he did. It was an edge you find on a samurai sword. Because it could fillet you and remove your liver without you even noticing it. But that's what it was like. Fortunately, unless you'd really stepped out of line and done something really, really wrong, you seldom actually saw that side of it, but he could actually do it. And I think it's always something in the armor or armory of a manager that he's able to be nice to people, but still smile as he's being the assassin, and time will tell how much of that, you know, just now, I'm not saying he's getting a free hit just now. He had nothing to beat when he came in, Danny Rowe. So now he's managed to put Rangers on a run. He's taken them into a position in the league who they're doing kind of well. And it's now based on what he does hereafter. And if he keeps winning, everything will be fine. If he doesn't get the results and the pressure mounts on him, then you might see a different Danny Rowe.
No, absolutely. Mohamed Diamandé, I wanted to talk about. Be quite honest, I think some, well, his season in general has been an absolute disgrace, to be quite frank. I thought last week, especially against Hibs, and I was shocked that he wasn't subbed off. And you could actually hear around the stadium when it was Conor Barron's number that went up to be subbed off and no Diamandé, the fans were moaning and groaning. We can maybe touch on Barron's recent performances as well, but Diamandé, again, he's one of a number of players for me in the last few years who I, on their day, they're a good player. We know that they're capable of doing things, but they only do it when it seems to suit them. And I think Raskin's been falling into that trap this season as well. The only thing is, if you don't play him on Sunday, realistically, who else are you going to play? It'll be Asgard, and that's probably even worse. Because
Aye.
Cameron's injured, so you know, you might say Diamandé's a bad option at the moment, but the alternatives are probably a lot worse.
The problem with that is, Craig, you've got guys that might play 5 games out of 10 and guys that give their all for 7 or 8 games out of 10, but the contributions that those guys are giving that for 7 or 8 games is always going to be less than the guys that can just switch it on in one of the 5 or 6 games that they play. And that always tips the balance in favour of the guy who you put in the team because he's got the potential to do something, rather than the guy that does all the heavy lifting and doesn't really, you know, have anything in at the end of it. It's a difficult balancing act. Where do you might get value for money is if you've got 4 or 5 players all of a similar ilk that are doing that thing. But the problem that Rangers have had this season is there's only 2 or 3 of them performing in any game at one time, maybe 3, 4, 5, and that is a problem. You cannot be carrying as many passengers. You need somebody somewhere to contribute, and I don't think enough will be making telling contributions, and that goes right through the team in different position. If it's strikers not taking their chances and scoring goals, if it's midfielders not being creative and you know, making tackles, if it's defenders not clearing their lines and giving away too many opportunities, I just think, you know, it was the old thing when you did the man by man Martins for the Sunday papers, and you knew the guys that you'd be starting. Your starting point was a 7 out of 10 because they were a 7 out of 10 every single game they played, you know. So it'd be like Papach, 7 out of 10, Claudio Arena, 7 out of 10. You just knew these guys were not going to dip and have horrible games, and that was your starting point. You could gauge or judge everybody else. I don't think there's enough of those guys in that team that you could say, well, he's your starting point, he's your bench mark for some of these other players, because there are guys all over the ship this season. I mean, they're blowing hot, they're blowing cold, they're looking as if they're going to be the next international squad, then they look as if they actually should be deported. It's just been so difficult this season to actually make a, you know, to actually gauge some of them on their standards, or indeed gauge them in what they might actually give you in the next game.
I mean, one player I mentioned him there who might be reaching those levels of consistency now is Conor Barron. I think he was a bit hot and cold last season, but I think this more so since Danny Rose came in, I think he's looked really consistent, excellent, very mature, grown up. And I made a comment online a few weeks ago and I still kind of stand by it where I was saying, you know, I like Barron. You know, he tries, he's good at breaking up the play, but I just, there's part of his game that he's sort of final ball. I think that lets him down a wee bit. I think if you want to see the best of him, I think just have him in that sort of number six role where he's basically just chasing everything down, chopping up, well, chopping up players, just there. That's what we want to see.
But
Breaking up the game.
That in itself is a talent. That in itself
Oh,
is a talent, because it means that if you're able to stymie the opposition and break up their positives, what they would expect to make something of suddenly becomes a negative, because you've either robbed them, dispossessed them, taken play off them, and started to open up yourself. And I think Barron is he's putting a shift in. I don't think there's anybody. Any Rangers fans in the last several weeks have gone, well, we need more out of him. You see what you're getting out of the guy, and the guy is trying really, really hard. Again, I go back to the point I made a couple of minutes ago. You're looking for guys to support him. You're looking for him. So if he's the guy that's giving you that stability, you're looking for other guys to go and try and play a bit more round about him. Or at least match what he's doing. And he stands out because he's getting it right just now. Where he doesn't stand out, or when he doesn't stand out, it's usually because other players have dragged them down to their level rather than trying to match him.
And one guy I mentioned him earlier, Nico Rasker, I think he's one of the players around about him that you're wanting to do better because, I mean, I don't think it's any coincidence that his best form for Rangers was when Barry Ferguson was the manager. And Barry Ferguson was actually pushing him to be an eight. He said that Raskin was quite introverted in the sense that I just want to be a six, just want to pass the ball from side to side, dictate the tempo. And Barry Ferguson saying, no, you've got talent, you've got something about you. You can be that box-to-box midfielder, that number eight. And you've seen that he can do it. But again, sometimes he just goes into his shell. And I think very similar to Diamandé, he's one of these guys that he shows up when it suits him. And, it's...
Maybe one-to-one coaching is what they need. Maybe Rangers need a coach. Every player they've got, they need their own coach. Maybe that's the way to actually go about getting the guys to actually start the
Well, we could bring back the Bears Pecora. We could pay for individual coaches. I know what I'd rather have, but no, you're right. I think Barron is definitely getting the potential to be that sort of 7 out of 10 every week. I think certainly the last couple of months he's been doing it, but you're obviously looking for him to do it over the course of the season. In terms of recruitment, I mean, we mentioned coaches there. One guy that the club's looked at as we approach the January transfer window. Is Lee McCulloch to join the sort of recruitment or the transfer team as such. I thought it was very interesting because we're brought in this interim, he's not the sporting director, but he kind of is for the next wee while, and I'm not even going to try and pronounce the guy's name, but on paper he's got a pretty decent pedigree, so that's all well and good.
Bjørnaby.
Aye, well, that'll do. Bjørnaby Bell.
It was I actually knew the guy who used to live next door to in the flats overlooking the docks in Liverpool. He's a pretty sound guy. A bit mad when it comes to he's nocturnal activities now and again, but a good guy to have about.
He's 12. I don't want to know what him and Big Jig are going to get up to.
The thing you mentioned McCullough there, there were a number of people, and this is going back, probably testing some people's memories. He's a cracking player at Motherwell, at Hearts. He was down to Wigan. And then Walter Smith brings him back up, and it's like the question, why are Rangers bringing him up? And after a matter of, a number of games or a number of weeks and months, all of a sudden you actually see the value of a guy who can actually play maybe a number of positions, but also understood the game, understood the mechanics of what it takes to get a team playing, how you go about attacking the opposition, how you go about organising a team defensively. And whether it's McCullough that's coming in, or any other kind of players that are mentioned, I think all I've thought for ages, and a long, long time, I think Rangers have been negligent at times, not tapping into some of the players that they've actually got, who might not make it as a first team coach or a manager somewhere, but know football and are good technicians in terms of the coaching side of things, and also are you maybe able to actually impart what it takes to play for Rangers and be a Rangers player, which isn't always easy or that simple. You know, dare I say it, one guy who's a great advocate for that was Neil Lennon. Neil Lennon said that unless you've actually been a Celtic player or a Rangers player, you'll never know the difficulties that you face and how hard it is sometimes just to pull on that shirt. And I think McCullough, given everything he went through as a Rangers player, who he played under, what he achieved in terms of winning medals and going to European finals and all the rest of it, I think that's the kind of thing that Rangers should be tapping into and should have done for a long time, you know, going back. In recent years.
Yeah, I mean, that is negligence because we've got so many sort of former players and legends that would do anything for the club. And if the club asked them, you hear, I mean, I'm not saying certain people the answer, but you hear Craig Moore in the media, and he said he's offered these services to Rangers in the past, and they've said, nah, it's all right. No, I'm not
But to
saying
be
that, oh, he
honest,
should be the sporting director or that, but this is what I mean. Like,
but be honest, listen, what has Craig Moore done at Rangers? You know, be honest. So he came across for Australia when he was 18 and chose Rangers before Arsenal. He played under Walter Smith. He then moved when Dick Advocaat said, no, don't go anywhere. He then came back to Rangers and played under McLeish. The guy was an absolute, what you would describe as a stalwart for Rangers. He also played for his country and captained his country at international level. The guy has done absolutely everything, but for some reason, and I said this somewhere else during the course of the week, there is an elitist snobbery at Ibrox where they think they can't go and speak to certain players, or they can't go and tap up certain players, or he wouldn't look good in a Rangers shirt. Oh, aye. So you're telling me that some of the players at Ibrox just now or have been in the last 18 months look good in their Rangers shirt? Well, I can tell you something different. So, when it's the likes of, you know, Stephen Robinson, who's doing a fantastic job at St Mirren, or, you know, Derek McInnes, who's doing a fantastic job at Hearts, maybe those are the guys that Rangers should have looked at rather than trying to think they're actually better than they are.
Yeah, and I mean, one of the players for St Mirren as well, Gogic. I mean, Barry Ferguson got absolutely slagged rotten when he came out and said, I would have signed him in the summer. And look what he does, man of the match performance and a cup final win against Celtic.
But
I mean, how many times have Rangers done that recently?
some of us knew how good he was going to be,
Yeah.
right? When he was playing for Accies. If you
Aye.
went and watched him playing for Accies, you would know how what an outstanding character he was. And
Yeah.
I was shocked that he went to St Mirren. But St Mirren obviously actually realised he was a talent. I always thought he would be a it would have been a great signing for let's say Hearts or Aberdeen
Yeah.
or Hibs or one of the more, if you like, prominent clubs.
Yeah.
But he's gone to St Mirren and he has helped turn them into a prominent club. You know, right at this minute in time, they're the only team that can actually win the domestic treble. Always remember that.
Well, that's I mean, man of the match performance in a cup final win against Celtic. As I say, how many Rangers players can say that over the last 10 or so years? None. Because
Yeah.
any time we go to Hampden against Celtic, they always seem to beat us. So, and by the way, I'm not saying he's the answer to all of our problems as well, but you know, that Rangers team that I grew up on, Alan McLeish and then Walter Seckenspiel, it was full of guys like that who just understood the league and understood the game. And no, they might know I played every week, but they've done a job. Do you know what I mean? And you need guys like that in title winning teams, in my opinion.
We mentioned when we spoke about Conor Barron earlier on there, and the guy I would actually say he reminds me of and what he's doing for Rangers just now is similar to a guy that Rowe had at Sheffield Wednesday, and that was Barry Bannon. And Barry Bannon was basically, you know, he would take the ball, he'd try and create, he'd win tackles, and you get other people trying to play round about him. And you were saying about, you know, Gogic and then this. People see players with different eyes. But I said a number of weeks ago, Barry Barron is exactly the type of player that Rangers should have been looking for. A guy that will start G'ing up other players round about him and lead by example. I'm not saying he might be the actual player that you go and buy, but he has that type of player and that kind of player that's a leader has to be better than some of the passengers that Rangers still have got in their books and will have for a foreseeable future until they get a deal to actually quit Rangers.
No, there is too many guys like that, but you know, let's try and be positive finishing up. I mean,
we are get... jingle bells, ho ho ho.
Well, Stuart, you never delivered the Christmas chocolates tonight, but hopefully you can help deliver the 3 points on Sunday.
I'll tell you what I have going here, right? This is to keep my hound. I've got some barbecue bangers, dog biscuits. So if you want a dog biscuit rather than chocolate, much healthier for you. I'll keep that coat of yours nice and keep that hair of yours dark as well. Oh, so I'll send you some of them because that's the kind of taste. I realised that when I put one in my pocket and pulled it out. I thought it was a bit of chocolate. It wasn't. It was a barbecue bang. I must admit, I've eaten worse.
No. I'll take it. Everybody knows I love a freebie. I'll take it. No, thanks for joining us. It'll be John, Ross and Jamie on Sunday to review, hopefully, a big 3 points at Tynecastle. But Stuart, thanks very much for joining us tonight, mate. It's been a pleasure as always.
Right, thank you. And just to say, a very Merry Christmas. I hope Santa's good to you, delivering things and stockings. I don't know about the rest of it, but especially when it comes to 3 points. And if I don't speak to you before New Year as well, a very happy New Year, and I wish you all the best in 2026.
Yes, I'd like to echo those thoughts as well. Obviously, the pod will be back before then, but I'm not sure if I'm on myself. So from a personal point of view, I would like to wish our viewers a very Merry Christmas and all the best for the New Year. And let's not boo Santa. Let's not stoop to their level, guys. He's a good guy. He's out working hard. He's delivering presents and hopefully he can deliver 3 points for the Rangers on Sunday. Thanks very much, guys. It's been a pleasure as always, and we'll see you soon. Bye bye.